going to blow for full time right there.
It's time for a look back on today's match.
This is the Full Time Report, the home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome into the Full Time Report, Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman. And look, I'm not going to pretend that for the next hour we want to look back at this match, but that's what we're going to do anyways. It was a tough one, but I wouldn't say it was wholly unexpected. We talked about it earlier. I felt this was a match where Atlanta United had to be aggressive, had to kind of be a little bit dangerously aggressive if they wanted to compete. You did not think they were going to be able to hold RSL scoreless, and they certainly didn't. The frustrating part about this comes twofold for me, Garrett. And again, it is a 5-2 defeat, Real Salt Lake, one of the best teams in the Western Conference. We don't even have to qualify it. One of the best teams in all of MLS,
yeah,
takes care of business at home. But, Garrett, it's twofold frustration for me, separate of the obvious result and loss. You had chances in the first half, and you were only able to deliver on one of those. You were very dominant from the second minute on in the first half, but you do find yourself in a 1-1 scoreless affair, or excuse me, a 1-1 draw going into halftime. That's what's frustrating. The other aspect, and I mentioned this in the pregame, you got to be aggressive. You got to get guys pushed up the field, and if Real Salt Lake breaks you down, if they counter, then so be it. That's not how you conceded tonight. You gave up two goals on set pieces when your defense was behind the ball. That is completely unacceptable. That's what's most frustrating. I was okay living with a scoreline. I said it might be 5-1. It was 5-2. I was maybe okay with that sort of result, but how it happened is what really irks me.
I'm not okay with a 5-1 result, a 5-2
I just
result.
More expected.
I know what you're trying to say. I'm not okay with that at all. I mean, that's... This was a miserable result. It's a miserable performance. There's very few positives really to take from this. I mean, I liked what we saw in the first half. I mean, I'm a hopeless optimist, so I'm going to keep it positive as best I can. I like the way the team responded. They got punched in the mouth. I mean, they allowed a goal in the first minute of the game, and they come back, and I think they were the better team throughout the course of the first half. And I mean, Saba comes in and is able to punch in an equalizer, and they look like they might be able to get out of here with a point. Or maybe at least salvage some sort of mental win. I don't know if you believe in mental wins necessarily, but it felt like they were able to come away with something. And then the second half happened, and the first 10 minutes of that second half, it felt like they were completely and totally outmatched. And then Real Salt Lake got the goal that seemed to be coming for a very long time. And I mean, I liked what I saw in the first half. I did. I really did. And they had a high press working. They were getting some pressure on Real Salt Lake and making them uncomfortable. But then they came back in the second half, and Salt Lake just seemed to have it kind of cooking. And there was nothing else that Atlanta really could have done. And we talked about it in the pregame show. I specifically mentioned that you need to win when you're in the box, whether you're on offense or you're on defense. Real Salt Lake, their first three shots on goal all went into the net. All of them were goals. All three of them, Abe. That's inexcusable. Like, there is just no positive that you can take from that. And then on the flip side, you have Daniel Rios, which he did notch a goal in this one. I mean, Saba scored in this one. But you have far too many missed opportunities in the attacking third. And it's just a frustrating result all the way around.
Yeah, it was sloppiness from a number of issues, obviously. Tristan Moyamba with the last one, but there was an issue with Derek Williams where a ball kind of sat off of his noggin and was just finished right in front of net. You got Brooks Lennon trying to defend two people on a set piece, and obviously Arango slides open for the goal. And then, quite frankly, a slow roller out to the top of the box.
By the way, I'm going to cut you off really quickly. Arango, how the hell is he that wide open on the back
Brooks
post?
Brooks
is covering two people.
Yeah, and one of them wasn't Arango, unfortunately. It's just a miscommunication, and that's
brutal.
Part of what we were concerned about to begin with was Theon Gregerson not being in there and Derek Williams having to reel in a couple of guys that maybe haven't played together a ton of times. Ronald Hernandez, maybe not often used as a center back, more kind of as a sub on the outside or in a four-back line situation. So it was maybe a little bit different for him as well.
Yeah, and this is really the first match that I think we can say that Noah Cobb kind of got beat up a little bit. I mean, he's had a few matches once or twice. I mean, he's 19 years old, so I mean,
It felt like a team thing. It didn't feel like he was getting beat one-on-one. Yeah.
No, I'm not going to point to a single person, but it throughout the course of this season, it felt like Noah Cobb was elevating his play. And, I mean, and I'm not going to put this at his feet either. I mean, Derek Williams had a pretty bad mistake. I mean, the ball bounces off of him and it comes. But even then, it's like you can't even fully fault him for that one. It's just a total team loss, really.
All right, I want to go through a couple of statistics here before we get to our man of the match, which I think we're legally required to give out, unfortunately. This statistical recap is brought to you by Piedmont. Piedmont Healthcare offers you exceptional hassle-free care close to the home. Piedmont, the official adult healthcare provider of Atlanta United. As we've seen in recent weeks, Atlanta United does concede possession 62% to 38%. They actually outshot RSL 14-12, but Real Salt Lake obviously six shots on goal to Atlanta United's four. That includes five of them touching the back of the net to just two for Atlanta United, 5-2 scoreline. XG, by the way, and this is why it's a dreadful stat, and I will continue to say the rest of the season, I will continue to crash this stat. 1.9 for Real Salt Lake, 1.6 for Atlanta United, so it means nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you can look up and down their season, too. I mean, like their expected goal is percentages right on line with the amount of goals that they score, and same cannot be said about Atlanta United, so do with that stat as you will. But as far as a man of the match is concerned, we do have to give one out.
Can it be one of their guys? Because Diego Luna had a heck of a game.
Maybe you can make it the official for the final whistle. That was probably the best moment of the game for Atlanta United tonight. But look, Daniel Rios, I mean, he finished the match off on a high note. Well, he did. His performance, I would say, was pretty strong. And I'm actually going to extrapolate this to his last six matches. So he's had four goals in his last six. He's had six total goal contributions. So he had a goal tonight, and he had an assist for the Saba Lubjanica finish. I mean, we've been praying for a striker. We've been praying for some attacking play. And I mean, Daniel Rios is the first place you're going to look because, I mean, you signed him to be your third striker. He's had to step into a much bigger role than I'd say he really anticipated when he came over here on loan down from Mexico. But I mean, he's played pretty well. I mean, all things considered, four goals in the last six total goal contributions. So that's your man of the match.
Yeah, a little bit of like a career Oscar when you give someone a guy. It may not be his best performance, but the rest of the field's a little bit down, and you know he deserves one at some point.
Yeah.
It's just instead of a career where it's six games extrapolated to tonight when you had the opportunity to do
a goal
so.
And an assist in one match.
And it was a really nice back heel.
It was a nice
combo with Saba for the opener. And then he gets the goal, obviously a little too little, too late on that one. All right, when we come back, we'll hope to hear from Rob Valentino at the podium there in Real Salt Lake. We'll also get some highlights in, let you know exactly what happened. A lot to get through because there were seven total goals scored in this one. Unfortunately, most of them by Real Salt Lake. It's Abe Gordon. It's Garrett Chapman. This is the full-time report. 5-2, Real Salt Lake takes down Atlanta United right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the full-time report. Falls to Real Salt Lake 5-2.
That was one thing that we shared.
0-2 on the road trip. They come back to Atlanta for the U.S. Open Cup on Tuesday. And Abe Gordon, we're going to discuss all of that right here on the full-time report. But in the meantime, let's head back out to Real Salt Lake for Rob Valentino, who has taken the podium.
Yeah, I think the goals that we gave up are extremely disappointing. We have to work so hard to score, so hard. And I felt like we gave it away. And whether it's set pieces, whether it's the first minute, whether it's the even down to the fifth goal, that's not good enough. That can't be what breaks us. If it's a lot of good passes and breaking us down and moving us and side to side, and that's somewhat acceptable, you can say, all right, fair play. But like, it's not acceptable. It's not nowhere near good enough. Three goals like that from set pieces.
Was there a commonality to the set pieces? Something that was supposed to have been done that wasn't?
And yeah, there's always roles and responsibilities that the guys have. Like, I need to go into that detail for you guys of who's got who or what zone that players have. Like, that's not important because at the end of the day, like, things will change on the field. I don't think they did. It's just now it's about ownership of those mistakes, shared ownership that I said off the very beginning that we have to, that's not acceptable that happens. And a knockdown happens on the first one. Second one, the most dangerous striker in the league is completely free. That's not acceptable. And then the third one is just alertness, really. So it's a shared responsibility, players, staff. So It's not a not one player, not one person.
On the goal by Arango, what was supposed to have happened? Because he was sitting on the edge of the line. There was Lennon was marking the guy beside him, and he was unmarked. Was someone assigned to him?
I mean, I'd have to check again, like on everything in terms of where they moved from, and then what the line was supposed to do. The line's supposed to drop together, and then if there's a guy far enough away, then typically the back post person would, or the backside person would pick him up. But in those moments, as things and players move quickly, you could see it happen, and we can see it happen from there. But when they're shuffling through players, and that, you know, it's miscommunication, or disappointing.
Yeah, the start started well. You know, when you took over, you know, two losses. Now you've got another game on Tuesday, so there's not a lot of time to get things right. What's the job number one for you on the flight home and on Monday to kind of flush this and get the guys ready for the Open Cup?
Yeah, I mean, I said to them, like, that's the best thing about it is that we got another game. We get to go play another game right away. I'm excited for it. I take it as a challenge. Like, it's difficult. No one ever said this is easy. If it was easy, then everybody would be doing this stuff. And I just think that, like, there's no time to feel sorry for ourselves. And it, yeah, I mean, like, at the beginning, you could say everything's great, but I don't think it was. I mean, we weren't settled. I've said it from the beginning, like, I'm not going to be somebody that lets outcome dictate how I am and how we are. It's important. I understand that, we have to get results. I do understand that, but, like, we need to look at what we can actually change in the moment. And this is, for me, we gave this one away. So, I don't want to be that type of person that ebbs and flows with results. But I'll dust myself off and we'll go again. I'm on this flight back. I'll be ready to go.
Very frustrated, Rob Valentino, interim manager of Atlanta United, 5-2 losers to Real Salt Lake, 0-2 on the road trip. Abe Gordon, I mean, I can understand his frustration. I mean, there were lots of situations in this one where, you know, I mean, just these goals were just unacceptable. You know, I mean, we were talking while he was going in there, and it's, I mean, if these goals were happening because you were being aggressive and then they just slip behind you and something else happened, like there's a counter because you're pushing up the pitch or something. But that's not how this happened. You were just sort of bunkered back, not bunkered back, I shouldn't say that, but you're playing on your final third in defense and they just slip by you. And that's unacceptable.
You know, the thing to me is, and because I want to be realistic about what Real Salt Lake is and how difficult it is to go on the road and try and get a result there, I don't think there's any shame in not being able to take a point up there at that stadium. What I do think is ashamed, and I think this is what you hear from Rob Valentino, is that you made it easy for them. If you have to get them to work hard, and if they beat you doing that, I think you can live with that, right? I would be fine going. I'm not happy about it. I'm not rooting for it, but I understand going to Real Salt Lake and not getting a result. What I don't understand is how easy the goals come for them, and this is what he was talking about, and they don't come easily for you. Why is that? It's not because you don't have the talent. It's because you're not focused. It's because you're not communicating.
Yeah.
It's because something's a little bit off in those moments. And if you make that team work hard, if you make a team beat you, and they do, you can live with that. What you can't live with is absolutely gifting them three, maybe four goals, because I have some questions on that first one as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's frustrating. That is what kind of debilitates you from having any positive takeaways from this game. Like, I know you got the two goals, and you mentioned Daniel Rios, the goal and assist, and he's had a bunch of goal contributions. Like, there's nothing positive in this one because the negatives so greatly outweigh what we saw there.
Yeah, and you have another one of these goals where Tristan Mbayumba is just sort of falling asleep. He's flat-footed, and he just wasn't expecting a pass in, and then he doesn't react, and then I don't know. He made matters even worse by not really following up and going after the playing defense. And that turned into an easy goal for Real Salt Lake. And it's just a very frustrating match top to bottom. But we do need to go through these highlights, Abe, because highlights are brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. And, look, the opening whistle happened, and it wasn't very long before Matt Crooks scores and puts them up 1-0.
Philip Quinton, who was traded by Columbus in April, sending it down the near touchline to Crooks. Now it's Ojeda slaloming through traffic and playing it through in the near offensive corner. Luna with the cross, the penalty spot, shot, score. Matthew Crooks. It didn't even take a minute.
It was one of the worst starts that you could have possibly seen for Atlanta, and I mean, it was kind of tough for Atlanta, and that was just a precursor of maybe some things to come. But Atlanta does respond very well. They caused some pressure, forced a few turnovers, and off of one of those turnovers, Saba gives Atlanta life after a pretty 1-2 with Daniel Rios.
Directing traffic now, throwing it short to Shonda Silva, and it was intercepted by Crooks. Shonda now digging for the second ball. He got it. Wiley gives it back to Shonda along the end line. Cut back pass now to Schlesch. To Saba inside the box. He flicks to Rios. Back to Saba. Shot! Score! Listen, all you all, it's a sabotage! And Atlanta United, after conceding in the first minute, has equalized in the 31st.
Daniel Rios notches his second assist in Atlanta United uniform, and Atlanta United looks like they're on their way to potentially a positive result. They draw level, and that is how they go into the halftime locker room. But it was not meant to last long. 13 minutes into the second half, Ojeda catches a ricochet on a corner to snatch a 2-1 lead for Real Salt Lake.
Tristan Moyamba also getting set to come in for Atlanta. First RSL's third corner of the match. It'll be sent in by Katranas out of the far corner goal to our left. In-swinger penalty spot header Arango bounces into the goal, bounces into the volley that is slammed into the net. It bounced off Derek Williams, and it was slammed into the net by Ojeda. Atlanta could not clear, and RSL gets the goal.
And it's not but 10 minutes later that Atlanta makes its third error in the box, and RSL scores its third goal and its third shot on goal.
Talking to players, blows the whistle. And here's Luna pitching to the back post. Arango, header, score! And there is Arango again getting a clean look at the header in the 18-yard box. And Atlanta United has made three catastrophic defensive errors tonight.
Yeah, and Chicho extends his golden boot tally to 17. And Atlanta is down 3-1. And bad gets worse as they allow a clean look to Alejandro Katrinis on a corner kick.
Luna with his right arm in the air, going for his third assist of the night. He's up to it and rolls it to the top of the 18. There's a run-on shot that deflects in for an own goal. The run-on shot by Katrinis. It's 4-1 RSL. It deflected off an Atlanta player into the net. It might be scored as an own goal, or it might be given to Katrinis.
Daniel Rios shows Atlanta's not dead yet, and he heads in his fourth goal in the last six matches.
Wolf flicks the ball back to Moyamba. Advantage play to Atlanta as Wiley will race down the far touchline. It's sent across in for Rios. It bounces all the way through to Lennon, right corner of the 18. Brooks another cross the back post. Header, score. Rios 4-2 as Rios stays hot and scores again.
Probably the lone bright spot for Atlanta United tonight. He notches his fourth goal in his last six matches and his sixth total goal contribution in that span. But Real Salt Lake slams the door. Diego Luna scores to cap off an incredible game for him. Three assists and a goal.
Traps it down to Schlesch. Handball play RSL. They play on. Schlesch rolling it and giving it away.
Moyamba just stood there.
Here is Chang coming down the middle ahead to Luna. Traps at the penalty spot. Volley, score. Oh, my goodness. Tristan Moyamba, what is going on? Brad Guzan is living and he should be. What was Tristan Moyamba doing there? It's 5-2 RSL.
Diego Luna makes it five different goal scorers for Real Salt Lake, and Atlanta falls 5-2. Now winless when allowing two or more goals on the season. They're 0-6-2 on the season. And we will discuss this and more on the Full-Time Report. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to the Full-Time Report.
Full-time, full-time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. A 5-2 defeat for Atlanta United, unfortunately, unable to get a clean sheet in this one. And Despite that, Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $8,000. It was a very difficult night for the back line tonight, and Derek Williams, part of the three center backs, took some responsibility. He stepped to the podium, and here's what he had to say there from Utah.
Derek, can you talk about the specific challenges that y'all faced tonight and how you think you kind of handled each one?
There's many challenges. They're a very good team. I think they're second in the West for a reason. I think they scored a lot of goals. They're dangerous going forward. So there's a lot of challenges. But first half, we did very well. Crap start. But then we got back into the game. I thought we defended very well first half. I think that was the only real chance in second half. But I think it was in the 60th minute when they scored their goal. And then, yeah, just wasn't good enough from then.
Valentino was talking about that he and Pablo was talking about in color light of the 60th minute hitting a wall in the thin air. Did y'all feel that? Could you tell a difference around then? Just like tired minds, tired legs?
No, I don't think so. Not personally. I think I didn't think we looked tired tonight, to be honest with you. Maybe we conceded three set pieces, so maybe we were a bit slow to that, but I didn't physically feel so.
Okay. And just what was there a commonality to the set pieces, to the mistakes made?
To be honest with you, I need to watch it back. Couldn't really see. So the first one, I think it was a corner. I seen the ball late, hit me in my chest, and then next thing you know, the guy turns and shoots, swivels. So that one was difficult. And then the set piece out wide over the top, Arango scores the header. We need to see how he gets free, how he has a free header back post. And then play the ball short to the edge of the box. He whips it far corner. Yeah, it's disappointing.
In that first half, they only had two shots, both in the first 5 minutes. What was working defensively in your mind in that first half?
Being compact, and we defend as a team. We showed when we do defend as a team, we're actually pretty good at it. But we don't do it enough. You need to do a play for play throughout the whole 90 minutes. And the show tonight, second half, you don't defend as a team, you get punished.
I think you could hear, Garrett, the letdown, the disappointment, the frustration of what, it's not a hidden thing. This was an incredibly, I don't want to use the term, it's too strong, but it was a pathetic result tonight. And it was a pathetic showing defensively. And there's not really a bright side to this. And that's why I don't feel too bad about using it's not like the worst word in the world, but it certainly got some negative connotations to it, and it's probably what's deserved tonight after that showing. This is a team we've seen be much better when the odds have been stacked against them. All right, so you don't have any of your DPs. I think we understand that. You've got to be better than what you showed tonight. You may still lose the game. You may even still have the scoreline, but you've got to be better than what you showed tonight. And unfortunately, for pretty much everyone involved, with the exception of a couple of youngsters who got in the 80th-plus minute, that just wasn't the case tonight.
Yeah, I don't really want to hear it, truthfully. From like not having the three designated players, yeah, like it's a very difficult spot to be in. You're in an 8-plus-3, and look, you're still supposed to be able to go out there and get some kind of result. Like that's the expectation. If it's you're down three starters, you're down three of your best starters. And I didn't expect this team to go out and get a win. But it's the manner in which a lot of these goals were conceded. It's the manner in which they really weren't able to get up and pose a lot of a threat for much of this match. I mean, they controlled that first half, and I really liked what I saw there, but the way they just sort of fell apart in the second half, it sort of removed a lot of the optimism that surrounded that. And this team has plus MLS plus rated players at every single position, and that's how we entered this season. That team, as a whole, is outside of the playoff race. That's unacceptable. And look, we've already seen a manager who's lost his job. We've already seen a designated player transferred out because, look, he was unhappy. We already have another one who moved on because he already had a foot out the door. I mean, this is just where we are right now. And at this point, you just need to survive and hope that you're still in contention at the point that you can make some noise in the playoffs. And the Eastern Conference is tight. There are a lot of teams who have a say in what's going to be happening in the Eastern Conference come playoff time. And Major League Soccer is one of the most forgiving playoff formats in all of American sports. And if Atlanta United continuously puts out performances like what we saw tonight, they're going to be on the outside looking in. And that's all there is to it. You can't just sit here and hope that you're going to make it all work come July 18th, because it's not coming on July 18th. You have a lot of matches to play between now and then. You got to figure something out.
And we'll talk about that here on the other side, because you've also got a transfer window that is going to be opening in 2 weeks. And you've got a lot of decisions that have to be made in regards to who you can bring in, because someone will be brought in. What you see right now on the field, what you saw today, is certainly not what you'll be seeing in August and September. At least we hope to like to think that.
Well, and it only gets worse because you're losing guys like Caleb Wiley. I mean, like, you're losing
you
guys.
You will, but
these guys are going to be gone here very soon. And I'm not saying, I'm not even referring to the Chelsea rumors. I'm like, he's going to be in Paris playing
just for
Team USA,
yeah,
just for the Olympics.
Right.
And he'll be gone very soon. And you're right back to where we were tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about 16 days plus a little bit of travel time. The season's a lot more than just dealing without Caleb Wiley. I think if you can
just
bring in a 10, you can bring in a 9.
Yeah.
And maybe you can find your way through that. But
well, Pedro's also going to come in here and be.
Yeah, and you kind of got that settled. Obviously, he won't be not one of your designated players, but you've got him in there for some depth and for some help. So we'll see where it tends to go. But like you said, this is not a team that's going to make a run into the top four. I think we understand that. Potentially similarly to the Braves, it might be about getting to the playoffs and seeing what sort of noise you can make once you get there. It is the full-time report. When we continue on the other side, we'll take a look at what's going on across MLS. Also get you set for Tuesday night, a little U.S. Open Cup action. And it is the quarterfinal stage here. Starting to get a little bit serious in terms of...
Back to the full-time report.
Full-time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. A 5-2 defeat for Atlanta United. Unfortunately, unable to get a clean sheet in this one. And despite that, Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $8,000. It was a very difficult night for the back line tonight, and Derek Williams, part of the three center backs, took some responsibility. He stepped to the podium, and here's what he had to say there from Utah.
Derek, can you talk about the specific challenges that y'all faced tonight and how you think you kind of handled each one?
There's many challenges. They're a very good team. I think they're second in the West for a reason. I think they scored a lot of goals. They're dangerous going forward. So there's a lot of challenges. But first half, we did very well. Crap start. But then we got back into the game. I thought we defended very well first half. I think that was the only real chance in second half. But I think it was around the 60th minute when they scored their goal. And then, yeah, it just wasn't good enough from then.
Valentino was talking about that he and Pablo was talking about when they're in Colorado, the 60th minute hitting a wall in the thin air. Did y'all feel that? Could you tell a difference around then? Just like tired minds, tired legs?
I don't think so. Not personally. I think I didn't think we looked tired tonight, to be honest with you. Maybe we conceded three set pieces, so maybe we're a bit slow to that, but I didn't feel so.
Okay. And just what was there a commonality to the set pieces, to the mistakes made?
To be honest with you, I need to watch it back. Couldn't really see. So the first one, I think it was a corner. I seen the ball late, hit me in my chest. And then next thing you know, the guy turns and shoots, swivels. So that one was difficult. And then the set piece out wide over the top, Arango scores the header. We need to see how he gets free, how he has a free header back post. And then play the ball short to the edge of the box. He whips it far corner. Yeah, it's disappointing.
In that first half, they only had two shots, both in the first 5 minutes. What was working defensively in your mind in that first half?
Being compact, and we defend as a team. We showed when we do defend as a team, we're actually pretty good at it. But we don't do it enough. You need to do a play for play throughout the whole 90 minutes. And the show tonight, second half, you don't defend as a team, you get punished.
I think you could hear, Garrett, the letdown, the disappointment, the frustration of what, it's not a hidden thing. This was an incredibly, I don't want to use the term, it's too strong, but it was a pathetic result tonight. And it was a pathetic showing defensively. And there's not really a bright side to this. And that's why I don't feel too bad about using it, what, you know, it's not like the worst word in the world, but it certainly got some negative connotations to it, and it's probably what's deserved tonight after that showing. This is a team we've seen be much better when the odds have been stacked against them. All right, so you don't have any of your DPs. I think we understand that. You've got to be better than what you showed tonight. You may still lose the game. You may even still have the scoreline, but you've got to be better than what you showed tonight. And unfortunately, for pretty much everyone involved, with the exception of a couple of youngsters who got in the 80th-plus minute, that just wasn't the case tonight.
Yeah, I don't really want to hear it, truthfully, from like not having the three designated players. Yeah, like it's a very difficult spot to be in. You're in an 8-plus-3, and look, you're still supposed to be able to go out there and get some kind of result. Like that's the expectation. If it's you're down three starters, you're down three of your best starters. And I didn't expect this team to go out and get a win. But it's the manner in which a lot of these goals were conceded. It's the manner in which they really weren't able to get up and pose a lot of a threat for much of this match. I mean, they controlled that first half, and I really liked what I saw there, but the way they just sort of fell apart in the second half has sort of removed a lot of the optimism that surrounded that. And this team has plus MLS plus rated players at every single position, and that's how we entered this season. That team, as a whole, is outside of the playoff race. That's unacceptable. And look, we've already seen a manager who's lost his job. We've already seen a designated player transferred out because, look, he was unhappy. We already have another one who moved on because he already had a foot out the door. I mean, this is just where we are right now. And at this point, you just need to survive and hope that you're still in contention at the point that you can make some noise in the playoffs. And the Eastern Conference is tight. There are a lot of teams who have a say in what's going to be happening in the Eastern Conference come playoff time. And Major League Soccer is one of the most forgiving playoff formats in all of American sports. And if Atlanta United continuously puts out performances like what we saw tonight, they're going to be on the outside looking in. And that's all there is to it. You can't just sit here and hope that you're going to make it all work come July 18th, because it's not coming on July 18th. You have a lot of matches to play between now and then. You got to figure something out.
And we'll talk about that here on the other side, because you've also got a transfer window that is going to be opening in 2 weeks. And you've got a lot of decisions that have to be made in regards to who you can bring in, because someone will be brought in. What you see right now on the field, what you saw today, is certainly not what you'll be seeing in August and September. At least we hope to, like to think that.
Well, and it only gets worse because you're losing guys like Caleb Wiley. I mean, like, you're losing
you
guys.
You will, but
these guys are going to be gone here very soon. And I'm not saying, I'm not even referring to the Chelsea rumors. I'm like, he's going to be in Paris playing
just for
Team
the
USA,
yeah.
just for the
That's
Olympics.
Right.
And he'll be gone very soon. And you're right back to where we were tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about 16 days plus a little bit of travel time. The season's a lot more than just dealing without Caleb Wiley. I think if you can
just
bring in a 10, you can bring in a 9.
Yeah.
And maybe you can find your way through that, but
well, Pedro's also going to come in here and be
yeah, and you kind of got that settled. Obviously, he won't be not one of your designated players, but you've got him in there for some depth and for some help. So we'll see where it tends to go. But like you said, this is not a team that's going to make a run into the top four. I think we understand that. Potentially similarly to the Braves, it might be about getting to the playoffs and seeing what sort of noise you can make once you get there. It is the full-time report. When we continue on the other side, we'll take a look at what's going on across MLS. Also get you set for Tuesday night, a little U.S. Open Cup action. And it is the quarterfinal stage here. Starting to get a little bit serious in terms of bringing home a trophy. I know we just sat here for the last 40 minutes or however long it's been and kind of dumped on the team a little bit, and rightfully so after what we saw today. But there is an opportunity for a trophy that's three games away. And so Atlanta United could potentially take another step towards doing that this coming week. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. It is Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman as well, Dom Cherovsky hanging out on the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with more Full-Time Report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full-Time Report. Garrett Chapman, Abe Gordon here in the Kia Studios. Atlanta United falls 5-2 to Real Salt Lake. Abe mentioned before that we do have U.S. Open Cup action on Tuesday, pregame action for that one starting at 6 o'clock. Join Abe and I on the Five Stripes countdown as Atlanta United looks to progress to the next round of the U.S. Open Cup. And then, again, later on this weekend, we do have another one at CF Montreal on the road on July 13th. So lots of action here coming up for Atlanta United, but we still have a lot to discuss here on the Full-Time Report. We are taking your questions, so make sure you get those into us. I've seen a couple come through. I'm going to get to those here in just a moment at GChapATL.
How are the people? Are they happy tonight? Are they positive? Not quite?
I can't say so.
Okay.
But at Abe Gordon, if you want to get some questions in, at 929 The Game, that's where we've retweeted it. Just make sure to go drop down, send us a DM, or just drop it as a question, and we'll get to them as time allows. But I do want to answer this first question here. It's from Benjamin London. He says, have they basically given up on the season, they being Atlanta United? No. Let me just be very crystal clear. No, absolutely not. They still have plenty to play for. I just mentioned the U.S. Open Cup. They can still go, and that's a trophy that counts as a trophy. Leagues Cup is still in their future. Can they advance out of their group? That's still something that they can play for. And I also mentioned in the last segment that this team is still on the outside of a playoff contention. And once you get into the playoffs, I mentioned it before, it's a very forgiving playoff structure. They're going to have just as good of an opportunity as anybody else to advance in the MLS Cup playoffs. And once you get there, we'll see. You know, I mean, like, this team, if you go and get a strong summer transfer window and you find a number 10, maybe you find a striker, then all of a sudden this team can be right back up in there in contention for a potential trophy later this season.
Yeah, I think that's why any ideas of tossing the towel in on this season is way too early. I think when you talk about what you could do in this trade, this is nowhere close to a real roster right now. And I'm not trying to say that with any disrespect to the guys who are out on the field today. You didn't have any DPs. And you have one that missed for yellow card accumulation, but almost every team in the entirety of MLS has a midfielder DP and a striker or attacking DP. And you had neither of those, mm-hmm. and you don't have any of them right now. You're not going to have them when you're taking on CF Montreal. You're not going to have them when you play NYCFC a couple of days after that. I think these next couple of games, and that includes tonight, and it goes back to New England, by the way, when you didn't have Almada for that one. I think you need to understand what a situation and position Atlanta United's in the reality of what they can put out on the field.
Yeah.
And again, it's not to say that the players who are on the team right now can't get it done. But you are absolutely competing with one hand tied behind your back. It shouldn't matter in soccer, right? You don't use your hands. But I think you get the point, right? And this is absolutely not the roster that you think you're competing with in August and September that you're dealing with now. Sure. And so any idea that the season is lost, it's down the drain, I just don't buy into that because it's up to Boca. It's up to Garth Lagerwey to address that, and I absolutely think they will.
And one player that they're going to be looking to for leadership is Dax McCarty, and Jason Longshore caught up with him after tonight's match.
Just have to get the mentality right. Set pieces are about focus and mentality, and you know it's really frustrating, especially playing a very good team, one of the best teams in the Western Conference, a team that's been excellent at home, and to concede an early goal and then have a performance like we did in the first half where we could have been winning, should have been winning, maybe 2, maybe 3-1 after a really good first half performance. To then concede 3 goals on set pieces is just unacceptable, and we know it. So there's no way to go but forward and make sure that we don't let it happen again.
Did you see any commonality to the mistakes on the set pieces?
I think it's just about duels, and it's just about a will to want to go win the ball. You know, teams do different things. They put dangerous balls into the box, and, you know, it's about guys wanting to get to the ball first. Make first contact. Don't let your guy get away from you. Don't let a guy go free in the box. Make sure that there's a little bit of communication if guys need to switch. I mean, it's little things. It's little things that make a big difference in games like this, in games where it's there for us. It was definitely there for us to win this game tonight, and you know, we let it slip and we let it go with obviously poor set piece defending and not a great start to the second half. So not a lot of time to sulk. Learn from it, move on, and get ready for the Open Cup.
You know, we're kind of building some momentum under Valentino, and now 2 consecutive road losses, and this one season high in goals allowed. What do you say to the guys, either on the fly at home or Monday, with the Open Cup, an important Open Cup game coming up, and then having to go back on the road to Montreal?
Have some character. Show some heart. Show a little bit of spine, backbone. Make sure that the mistakes that happened in these 2 road games don't happen again. We had really tightened things up, especially on the road, defensively, staying compact, and we let that slip in these last 2 games. And it's little things that we can do better individually, but also collectively. It's a mentality. To be able to defend well as a team, to be able to stay compact, to be able to limit the other team's chances. When teams are at home, they're going to be more aggressive. That's how it is. And we were able to find a little success and a little joy the past couple of weeks under Rob. And then these last 2 road games, we lost a little bit of focus, I think, in those areas, making sure that we're defending compact and being hard to break down. So tonight it was better, especially from the run of play. I don't think, you know, I don't remember them having too many chances from the run of play, obviously, other than the last maybe 10-15 minutes, but it was the set pieces that were a big problem for us tonight. And on the road, you're never going to give yourself a chance to win if you concede 1 goal on a set piece, let alone 3.
Yeah, just a frustrating result here for Atlanta United, 5-2 losers to Real Salt Lake, and Dax McCarty mentioned it. It's just you have to remain compact. You have to play better on defense, and that's really all it comes down to. And we talked about it a lot on the full-time report. It's, look, if you're getting beat in situations where you're pushing up the field and being aggressive and putting shots on goal, and then they catch a counter or something else happens, then that's one thing. But this team was getting beat in situations where they had opportunities to set up on defense, and that sort of thing is just not acceptable. That sort of thing, you got to get back into the film room and see what's going wrong, because you've conceded now 7 goals in the last 2 matches. I mean, this is a team that, I mean, even if you're without Steele and Gregerson, you still have Dax McCarty in there. You still have Bartosz Szelis in there in that defensive midfield. And then you still have a Noah Cobb and Ronald Hernandez, who generally plays as a fullback. But you have three center backs back there and a seasoned veteran in Brad Guzan. There's no excuse to be allowing five goals in a game like this.
No, and you could sit here and we could read off the stats of RSL and talk about how many goals they've scored on over the course of the season, all that. But again, it's not about the goals that they scored. It's about how they came to be.
Yep.
We did not make them work anywhere near hard enough to deliver a ball to the back of the net. It was way too easy. And to have three goals in situations that should be defensible, that's going to be a long conversation. Come training whenever they get time. Obviously, they got a quick turnaround game
very
Tuesday,
fast.
But there's going to be a long conversation there.
Yeah, it's going to be a quick turnaround. We're going to discuss that game here on the other side. But before we do that, Abe, I do want to go around the rest of Major League Soccer because this wasn't the only blowout, was it?
No, I was just going to say, if you want to feel a little bit better, you can take a look at what Inter Miami had to deal with as well.
Woof.
They go to FC Cincinnati, battle for first place in the Eastern Conference. They get drubbed. That is a 6-1 scoreline. Columbus at home, 4-0 over Toronto. Orlando City, 5-0 over DC United. We had a couple of low-scoring draws. Montreal and Vancouver, 1-1. Philly and New York scoreless. And then most recently, it was a weather-delayed game, but Austin holds home serve there 2-1 over NYCFC. And just about to go final, couple of clicks off the clock away. Seattle Sounders at home are going to beat New England 2-0.
And then in a table update in the Eastern Conference, Cincinnati is up in first place for the first time this season, 48 points. Miami in second place with 47. And then you drop down about 8 points, and that's where you get to third place, and that's Columbus and New York City, New York Red Bulls sitting there with 36. NYCFC is below that number four spot for home field advantage. They sit there with 35. Charlotte, 32. Orlando with 27. Nashville with 26. And Toronto has an advantage over Atlanta United, 24 points, and they are level with our Five Stripes, who are in 10th place. Sitting just outside of the playoff line. We do see a few more questions that have come through. We will answer those. Abby, Nick, we will get to you here on the other side. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman here on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9
The Game. Radio 92.9
The Game.
Welcome back in, full-time report. 5-2, Real Salt Lake takes care of business at home. Atlanta United coming back to Atlanta with two losses on this short couple-day road trip and obviously looking to get right, an opportunity to do so against the Indy 11 U.S. Open Cup action at the Fraction, if you will, Fifth Third Stadium on Tuesday, pregame at 6. The game will get going at 7 o'clock. As we wrap up here, it's Abe Gordon, it's Garrett Chapman. Garrett, you have a couple more comments and questions from our listeners we wanted to get into?
Yeah, and make sure you get those in at GChapATL, at Abe Gordon on Twitter. First one coming from Nick. He says, any thoughts on the search for a new manager? No. Still nothing really on that front. Garth Lagerwey is going to be lock and key until they eventually hire somebody, or at least there's some smoke that comes out. And the only way smoke will come out is if they want it to come out, and I don't expect
you think
that
we're
going to
get shouts for Berhalter here?
Oh, man. Well, maybe. I don't think so. We'll see if Berhalter is even the manager. I mean, he may even keep his job. I really don't even know at that one. I don't want to go into that one. Next one coming here from Abby. Abby, thank you for all the activity. She says, thank you to the young players who were on the pitch. Horrible set plays, mistakes with not covering RSL players on those set plays, resulting in three of the goals. Who knows what Tristan was doing? I look forward to seeing the young ones play on Tuesday. Abby, I kind of agree. Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this match on Tuesday. Indy 11 coming to the Fraction. We're going to get some action at the Fraction. Jason Longstrom, Mike Conti. Well, at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. Pre-game coverage starting at 6 o'clock with Abe Gordon and I. Should be a lot of fun. I mean, look, Atlanta United still has a chance to go do something positive with the season, and they can go win a U.S. Open Cup, and or at least they can give themselves a good opportunity to win a cup. I mean, like that sort of thing. Winning trophies is the goal, right?
Well, you're in the quarterfinal stage here, Garrett, against a lesser team. I'm not saying it's an easy win. I'm not saying it's a walkthrough. You expect to find yourself in the semifinals, and then we find out if you'll be matched up with an MLS opponent or not. But look, for as many disappointing seasons as we've had here and there, there have been seasons that have been looked at as a bad year that have been with a trophy in hand. And certainly winning the U.S. Open Cup still provides a couple of advantages for next season. So I do expect them to go for it. Yes, we're going to see some youth. There's no denying that. But I think they're going to have the mindset that we are going after this trophy. And I think that's the position that the team is in, but also the position that interim manager Rob Valentino finds himself in as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we actually start seeing some of these starters come out and really play at least a half, maybe. Maybe we see like I expect a Dax McCarty or something like that. Maybe some of these guys came off tonight a little bit earlier than they would have normally, just so that they can save their legs and come out and put together at least 45, 50 minutes for Atlanta United on Tuesday. And this isn't a slouch of a team on the USL side that Atlanta's going to be facing. They were perfect in the month of May. They continue to rise here. They're one of the top USL sides of the last couple of years. And look, they're going to come in here and they're going to give absolutely everything that they have. I mean, this is the Super Bowl for USL clubs. And they have a chance to come. If they can beat one MLS squad, that's huge for them. And so they're going to come in and give everything they have. So Atlanta needs to be on its game.
Yeah, there's no denying that. Again, coverage of that one will start at 6 o'clock on Tuesday from Kennesaw State there, the Fifth Third Stadium. That's going to do it here on the full-time report. Again, a very disappointing result today, and it's as disappointing in what the scoreline was as much as it is how that scoreline was in terms of how the goals came to be. Very, very defendable moments that Atlanta United let slip by them. And so it is 5-2 Real Salt Lake, and Atlanta United comes home from a two-game road trip with 0 points accumulated, and they have taken a slight stumble down the standings, but there are still plenty of games left, and they're not too far from that playoff line. So that's going to do it here tonight on the Full-Time Report. It's Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman. We'll be back with you, as we mentioned, Tuesday at 6 o'clock for the Five Stripes Countdown. Want to thank Mike Connie and Jason Longshore for their entertaining call of a tough game to listen to. Also want to thank Dom Cherosky getting it done here in studio as well. And we will see you on Tuesday night, Five Stripes Countdown, 6 p.m. on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to the Full-Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with more Full-Time Report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome again to the Full-Time Report. Garrett Chapman, Abe Gordon here in the Kia Studios. Atlanta United falls 5-2 to Real Salt Lake. Abe mentioned before that we do have U.S. Open Cup action on Tuesday, pregame action for that one starting at 6 o'clock. Join Abe and I on the Five Stripes Countdown as Atlanta United looks to progress to the next round of the U.S. Open Cup. And then, again, later on this weekend, we do have another one at CF Montreal on the road on July 13th. So lots of action here coming up for Atlanta United, but we still have a lot to discuss here on the Full-Time Report. We are taking your questions, so make sure you get those into us. I've seen a couple come through. I'm going to get to those here in just a moment at GChapATL.
How are the people? Are they happy tonight? Are they positive? Not quite?
I can't say so.
Okay.
But at Abe Gordon, if you want to get some questions in, at 929 The Game, that's where we've retweeted it. Just make sure to go drop down, send us a DM, or just drop it as a question, and we'll get to them as time allows. But I do want to answer this first question here. It's from Benjamin London. He says, have they basically given up on the season, they being Atlanta United? No. Let me just be very crystal clear. No, absolutely not. They still have plenty to play for. I just mentioned the U.S. Open Cup. They can still go, and that's a trophy that counts as a trophy. Leagues Cup is still in their future. Can they advance out of their group? That's still something that they can play for. And I also mentioned in the last segment that this team is still on the outside of playoff contention. And once you get into the playoffs, I mentioned it before, it's a very forgiving playoff structure. They're going to have just as good of an opportunity as anybody else to advance in the MLS Cup playoffs. And once you get there, we'll see. You know, I mean, like this team, if you go and get a strong summer transfer window and you find a number 10, maybe you find a striker, then all of a sudden this team can be right back up in there in contention for a potential trophy later this season.
Yeah, I think that's why any ideas of tossing the towel in on this season is way too early. I think when you talk about what you could do in this train, this is nowhere close to a real roster right now. And I'm not trying to say that with any disrespect to the guys who are out on the field today. You didn't have any DPs. And you have one that missed for yellow card accumulation. But almost every team in the entirety of MLS has a midfielder DP and a striker or attacking DP. And you had neither of those. Mm-hmm. And you don't have any of them right now. You're not going to have them when you're taking on CF Montreal. You're not going to have them when you play NYCFC a couple of days after that. I think these next couple of games, and that includes tonight, and it goes back to New England, by the way, when you didn't have Almada for that one. I think you need to understand what a situation and position Atlanta United's in the reality of what they can put out on the field.
Yeah.
And again, it's not to say that the players who are on the team right now can't get it done. But you are absolutely competing with one hand tied behind your back. It shouldn't matter in soccer, right? You don't use your hands. But I think you get the point, right? And this is absolutely not the roster that you think you're competing with in August and September that you're dealing with now. Sure. And so any idea that the season is lost, it's down the drain, I just don't buy into that because it's up to Boca, it's up to Garth Lagerwey to address that, and I absolutely think they will.
And one player that they're going to be looking to for leadership is Dax McCarty, and Jason Longshore caught up with him after tonight's match.
Just have to get the mentality right. Set pieces are about focus and mentality, and you know it's really frustrating, especially playing a very good team, one of the best teams in the Western Conference, a team that's been excellent at home, and to concede an early goal and then have a performance like we did in the first half where we could have been winning, should have been winning, maybe 2-1 after a really good first half performance. To then concede 3 goals on set pieces is just unacceptable, and we know it. So there's no way to go but forward and make sure that we don't let it happen again.
Did you see any commonality to the mistakes on the set pieces?
I think it's just about duels, and it's just about a will to want to go win the ball. You know, teams do different things. They put dangerous balls into the box, and you know, it's about guys wanting to get to the ball first, make first contact. Don't let your guy get away from you. Don't let a guy go free in the box. Make sure that there's a little bit of communication if guys need to switch. I mean, it's little things. It's little things that make a big difference in games like this, in games where it's there for us. It was definitely there for us to win this game tonight, and you know, we let it slip and we let it go with obviously poor set piece defending and not a great start to the second half. So not a lot of time to sulk, learn from it, move on, and get ready for the Open Cup.
You know, we're kind of building some momentum under Valentino, and now 2 consecutive road losses and this one season high in goals allowed. What do you say to the guys either on a fly at home or Monday with the Open Cup, an important Open Cup game coming up, and then having to go back on the road to Montreal?
Have some character. Show some heart. Show a little bit of spine, backbone. Make sure that the mistakes that happened in these 2 road games don't happen again. We had really tightened things up, especially on the road, defensively, staying compact. And we let that slip in these last 2 games. And it's little things that we can do better individually, but also collectively. It's a mentality. To be able to defend well as a team, to be able to stay compact, to be able to limit the other team's chances. When teams are at home, they're going to be more aggressive. That's how it is. And we were able to find a little success and a little joy the past couple of weeks under Rob. And then These last two road games, we lost a little bit of focus, I think, in those areas, making sure that we're defending compact and being hard to break down. So tonight it was better, especially from the run of play. I don't remember them having too many chances from the run of play, obviously, other than the last maybe 10, 15 minutes, but it was the set pieces that were a big problem for us tonight. And on the road, you're never going to give yourself a chance to win if you concede one goal on a set piece, let alone three.
Yeah, just as frustrating result here for Atlanta United, 5-2 losers to Real Salt Lake, and Dax McCarty mentioned it. It's just you have to remain compact. You have to play better on defense, and that's really all it comes down to. And we talked about it a lot on the full-time report. It's, look, if you're getting beat in situations where you're pushing up the field and being aggressive and putting shots on goal and then they catch a counter or something else happens, then that's one thing. But this team was getting beat in situations where they had opportunities to set up on defense. And that sort of thing is just not acceptable. That's that sort of thing, you got to get back into the film room and see what's going wrong, because you've conceded now 7 goals in the last 2 matches. I mean, this is a team that, I mean, even if you're without Steven Gregerson, you still have Dax McCarty in there. You still have Bartosz Szelis in there in that defensive midfield. And then you still have a Noah Cobb and Ronald Hernandez, who generally plays as a fullback. But you have 3 center backs back there and a seasoned veteran in Brad Kuzan. There's no excuse to be allowing 5 goals in a game like this.
No, and you could sit here and we could read off the stats of RSL and talk about how many goals they've scored on over the course of the season, all that. But again, it's not about the goals that they scored. It's about how they came to be.
Yep.
We did not make them work anywhere near hard enough to deliver a ball to the back of the net. It was way too easy. And to have 3 goals in situations that should be defensible, that's going to be a long conversation come training, whenever they get time. Obviously, they got a quick turnaround game
very
Tuesday,
fast.
But there's going to be a long conversation there.
Yeah, it's going to be a quick turnaround. We're going to discuss that game here on the other side. But before we do that, Abe, I do want to go around the rest of Major League Soccer, because this wasn't the only blowout, was it?
No, I was just going to say, if you want to feel a little bit better, you can take a look at what Inter Miami had to deal with as well.
Woof.
They go to FC Cincinnati, battle for first place in the Eastern Conference. They get drubbed. That is a 6-1 scoreline. Columbus at home, 4-0 over Toronto. Orlando City, 5-0 over DC United. We had a couple of low-scoring draws. Montreal and Vancouver, 1-1. Philly and New York scoreless. And then most recently, it was a weather-delayed game, but Austin holds home serve there, 2-1 over NYCFC. And just about to go final, couple of clicks off the clock away. Seattle Sounders at home are going to beat New England 2-0.
And then in a table update in the Eastern Conference, Cincinnati is up in first place for the first time this season, 48 points. Miami in second place with 47. And then you drop down about 8 points, and that's where you get to third place, and that's Columbus and New York City, New York Red Bulls, sitting there with 36. NYCFC is below that number 4 spot for home field advantage. They sit there with 35. Charlotte, 32. Orlando with 27. Nashville with 26. And Toronto has an advantage over Atlanta United, 24 points, and they are level with our 5 Stripes, who are in 10th place, sitting just outside of the playoff line. We do see a few more questions that have come through. We will answer those. Abby, Nick, we will get to you here on the other side. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman here on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. Full-time report. 5-2. Real Salt Lake takes care of business at home. Atlanta United coming back to Atlanta with 2 losses on this short couple-day road trip, and obviously looking to get right, an opportunity to do so against the Indy 11 U.S. Open Cup action at the Fraction, if you will, Fifth Third Stadium on Tuesday. Pregame at 6. The game will get going at 7 o'clock. As we wrap up here, it's Abe Gordon, it's Garrett Chapman. Garrett, you have a couple more comments and questions from our listeners we wanted to get into?
Yeah, and make sure you get those in at GChapATL, at Abe Gordon on Twitter. First one coming from Nick. He says, any thoughts on the search for a new manager? No, Still nothing really on that front. Garth Lagerwey is going to, it's going to be lock and key until they eventually hire somebody, or at least there's some smoke that comes out. And the only way smoke will come out is if they want it to come out, and I don't expect that.
You think we're
going to
get shouts for Berhalter here?
Oh, man. Well, maybe. I don't think so. We'll see if Berhalter is even the manager. I mean, he may even keep his job. I really don't even know at that one. I don't want to go into that one. Next one coming here from Abby. Abby, thank you for all the activity. She says, thank you to the young players who were on the pitch. Horrible set plays, mistakes with not covering RSL players on those set plays, resulting in three of the goals. Who knows what Tristan was doing? I look forward to seeing the young ones play on Tuesday. Abby, I kind of agree. Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this match on Tuesday. Indy 11 coming to the Fraction. We're going to get some action at the Fraction. Jason Longshore, Mike Conti. Well, at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. Pre-game coverage starting at 6 o'clock with Abe Gordon and I. Should be a lot of fun. I mean, look, Atlanta United still has a chance to go do something positive with the season, and they can go win a U.S. Open Cup, and or at least they can give themselves a good opportunity to win a cup. I mean, like that sort of thing. Winning trophies is the goal, right?
Well, you're in the quarterfinal stage here, Garrett, against a lesser team. I'm not saying it's an easy win. I'm not saying it's a walkthrough. You expect to find yourself in the semifinals, and then we find out if you'll be matched up with an MLS opponent or not. But look, for as many disappointing seasons as we've had here and there, there have been seasons that have been looked at as a bad year that have been with a trophy in hand. And certainly winning the U.S. Open Cup still provides a couple of advantages for next season. So I do expect them to go for it. Yes, we're going to see some youth. There's no denying that. But I think they're going to have the mindset that we are going after this trophy. And I think that's the position that the team is in, but also the position that interim manager Rob Valentino finds himself in as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we actually start seeing some of these starters come out and really play at least a half, maybe. Maybe we see like a, I mean, I expect a Dax McCarty or something like that. Maybe some of these guys came off tonight a little bit earlier than they would have normally, just so that they can save their legs and come out and put together at least 45, 50 minutes for Atlanta United on Tuesday. And this isn't a slouch of a team on the USL side that Atlanta's going to be facing. They were perfect in the month of May. I mean, they continue to rise here. They're one of the top USL sides of the last couple of years. And look, they're going to come in here and they're going to give absolutely everything that they have. I mean, this is the Super Bowl for USL clubs. And they have a chance to come. If they can beat one MLS squad, that's huge for them. And so they're going to come in and give everything they have. So Atlanta needs to be on its game.
Yeah, there's no denying that. Again, coverage of that one will start at 6 o'clock on Tuesday from Kennesaw State there, the 5th Third Stadium. That's going to do it here on the full-time report. Again, a very disappointing result today, and it's as disappointing in what the scoreline was as much as it is how that scoreline was in terms of how the goals came to be. Very, very defendable moments that Atlanta United let slip by them. And so it is 5-2 Real Salt Lake, and Atlanta United comes home from a two-game road trip with 0 points accumulated, and they have taken a slight stumble down the standings, but there are still plenty of games left, and they're not too far from that playoff line. So that's going to do it here tonight on the Full-Time Report. It's Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman. We'll be back with you, as we mentioned, Tuesday at 6 o'clock for the Five Stripes Countdown. Want to thank Mike Conti and Jason Longshore for their entertaining call of a tough game to listen to. Also want to thank Dom Cherosky getting it done here in studio as well. And we will see you on Tuesday night, Five Stripes Countdown, 6 p.m. on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to the Full Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in, Full-Time Report. 5-2, Real Salt Lake takes care of business at home. Atlanta United coming back to Atlanta with two losses on this short couple-day road trip and obviously looking to get right, an opportunity to do so against the Indy 11 U.S. Open Cup action at the Fraction, if you will, Fifth Third Stadium on Tuesday, pregame at 6. The game will get going at 7 o'clock. As we wrap up here, it's Abe Gordon, it's Garrett Chapman. Garrett, you have a couple more comments and questions from our listeners we wanted to get into?
Yeah, and make sure you get those in at GChapATL, at Abe Gordon on Twitter. First one coming from Nick. He says, any thoughts on the search for a new manager? No. Still nothing really on that front. Garth Lagerwey is going to, it's going to be lock and key until they eventually hire somebody, or at least there's some smoke that comes out. And the only way smoke will come out is if they want it to come out, and I don't expect
you think
that
we're
going to
get shouts for Berhalter here?
Oh, man. Well, maybe. I don't think so. We'll see if Berhalter is even the manager. I mean, he may even keep his job. I really don't even know at that one. I don't want to go into that one. Next one coming here from Abby. Abby, thank you for all the activity. She says, thank you to the young players who were on the pitch. Horrible set plays, mistakes with not covering RSL players on those set plays, resulting in 3 of the goals. Who knows what Tristan was doing? I look forward to seeing the young ones play on Tuesday. Abby, I kind of agree. Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this match on Tuesday. Indy 11 coming to the Fraction. We're going to get some action at the Fraction. Jason Longstrom, Mike Conti. At 7 o'clock on Tuesday. Pre-game coverage starting at 6 o'clock with Abe Gordon and I. Should be a lot of fun. I mean, look, Atlanta United still has a chance to go do something positive with the season, and they can go win a U.S. Open Cup, and or at least they can give themselves a good opportunity to win a cup. I mean, like that sort of thing. Winning trophies is the goal, right?
Well, you're in the quarterfinal stage here, Garrett, against a lesser team. I'm not saying it's an easy win. I'm not saying it's a walkthrough. You expect to find yourself in the semifinals, and then we find out if you'll be matched up with an MLS opponent or not. But look, for as many disappointing seasons as we've had here and there, there have been seasons that have been looked at as a bad year that have been with a trophy in hand. And certainly winning the U.S. Open Cup still provides a couple of advantages for next season. So I do expect them to go for it. Yes, we're going to see some youth. There's no denying that. But I think they're going to have the mindset that we are going after this trophy. And I think that's the position that the team is in, but also the position that interim manager Rob Valentino finds himself in as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we actually start seeing some of these starters come out and really play at least a half, maybe. Maybe we see I expect a Dax McCarty or something like that. Maybe some of these guys came off tonight a little bit earlier than they would have normally, just so that they can save their legs and come out and put together at least 45, 50 minutes for Atlanta United on Tuesday. And this isn't a slouch of a team on the USL side that Atlanta's going to be facing. They were perfect in the month of May. They continue to rise here. They're one of the top USL sides of the last couple of years. And look, they're going to come in here and they're going to give absolutely everything that they have. I mean, this is the Super Bowl for USL clubs. And they have a chance to come. If they can beat one MLS squad, that's huge for them. And so they're going to come in and give everything they have, so Atlanta needs to be on its game.
Yeah, there's no denying that. Again, coverage of that one will start at 6 o'clock on Tuesday from Kennesaw State there, the Fifth Third Stadium. That's going to do it here on the full-time report. Again, a very disappointing result today, and it's as disappointing in what the scoreline was as much as it is how that scoreline was in terms of how the goals came to be. Very, very defendable moments that Atlanta United let slip by them. And so it is 5-2 Real Salt Lake, and Atlanta United comes home from a 2-game road trip with 0 points accumulated, and they have taken a slight stumble down the standings, but there are still plenty of games left, and they're not too far from that playoff line. So that's going to do it here tonight on the Full-Time Report. It's Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman. We'll be back with you, as we mentioned, Tuesday at 6 o'clock for the Five Stripes Countdown. I want to thank Mike Conti and Jason Longshore for their entertaining call of a tough game to listen to. Also want to thank Dom Cherosky getting it done here in studio as well. And we will see you on Tuesday night, Five Stripes Countdown, 6 p.m. on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to the Full Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.